This morning we're going to look at an idea that I've been thinking about, growing old in Christ. And this is, there's many passages, there's many scriptures in the Bible that deal with this in different ways, various ways. Ecclesiastes and Proverbs are some of the best in the Old Testament that give us a description of old age physically and mentally, that is the wisdom, the knowledge, and the experience that we gain from growing older. And sometimes when we think about growing older, we think physical terms and we think about the negative aspects of that. And I'll discuss some of that, but I want to focus on the positive aspects of growing older, which the Bible, I believe, emphasizes over the physical. The Bible tells us the physical aspects, the facts about growing old, there's a lot of facts that show us that and it speaks to that. But spiritually, the emphasis in the New Testament and the Old Testament is on how we should think about growing old in Christ. And I'll get to a lot of passages here, and as time allows, there's more than I can obviously cover this morning. But I want to look at the idea that 2 Corinthians chapter 5 gives us, and then we'll continue on from there. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul writes in verses 1 through 9, he says, "For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven. If indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life. Now he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who also has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, yes, well pleased, rather, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well pleasing to Him." I can't say it any better than Paul. Paul emphasizes the fact that we are in a body, a physical body, that is made from the dust of this earth, as is taught in Genesis chapters 1 through 3, where God created man in His own image, and I think that bespeaks to the spiritual aspect of us, the eternal part of us, our mind, our spirit, our soul, if you will, that is eternal, that will not perish, that man really doesn't know where it came from, other than the Bible tells us by revelation it came from God. He created it in His own way, and it's somewhat mysterious, but He created a body for us out of the elements of the earth, and gravity is always trying to pull it back to itself, trying to take us back to where we came from, so to speak. And we understand, and the Bible, God Himself understands that, and I think He gives us a lot of comforting scriptures concerning our growing old in Christ, not only physically, that's a part of it, as this body, this vessel carries our soul, carries our mind, our spirit along. It is going to age, it is going to, over time, give out, but the Bible gives us and emphasizes the positive aspect of aging, that we should be maturing spiritually. And there's a lot of things that people have said about it. I want to notice just a few, you know, and we'll get to the spiritual and physical aspects. I'll be going back and forth here a little bit. But we want to notice the emphasis this morning is our growing older gracefully. Now, this lesson can apply to you if you're young, especially if you're old, as I consider myself getting older. I'm not quite old yet, but I'm getting there. And if you're young, you're going to be there at some point, so I think it applies to everyone at some stage in their life. You know, Aristotle himself said, "Education is the best provision." I wrote these down, so I should have typed them. "Education is the best provision for the journey to old age." You know, that was said a long time ago, and A part of being young is the time that you learn things and you get education, but you don't necessarily have the wisdom that you need as you will later on in life. You know, Bob Hope said, a famous comedian, that middle age is when your age starts to show around your middle. You know, we all, as we get older, know that there are certain aspects of aging that we laughed at when we were younger. We might have made fun or lied of, and as we get older, we realize what the older folks were complaining about. You know, when I was younger, I was always in a hurry to get older. I wanted to be an adult, to do adult things, because adults had such freedom. They had such knowledge about things, and they had experience, and I didn't have those things, and people always seemed to tell me what to do. Just about anybody seemed to be my boss when I was little, and I wanted to hurry up and grow older, and as I did grow older, sometimes I reflect back how nice it would be to be a child again, to be young and not to have such responsibilities. But then again, I'm really never satisfied at any age as I reflect as getting older. I enjoy the knowledge and wisdom through experience that I gain, that I do know some things that I didn't used to know. You've heard people say, oh, if I were 19 or 20 again, you know, the things that if I had the knowledge I have now. And if you think about it, what would really be different? You know, the negative things I went through taught me and made me the character that I am today. If I didn't have those things and I had such knowledge, I might have escaped some of that, and I don't know how I would really turn out. So it's kind of like Ecclesiastes, Solomon talks about, and we'll discover some of the things he said. He speaks a lot about it in the perspective of an old man, especially Ecclesiastes 11 and 12. And we'll get to some of that. But one of the famous quotes that I really like is Eleanor Roosevelt. She said, "Today is the oldest you've ever been, and the youngest you'll ever be again." That's very profound. You know, at the stage that you're at in life, that's the oldest that you've ever been at this time of life. And so you need to make the best of time and what time you have left, because we don't know. As James 4 tells us, if we say we're going to do this or that, let's say if the Lord wills, because we don't know. If the Lord is willing, we'll do this or that. We should have an attitude that we don't really know what's beyond the next day or what the next day holds. And it's also the youngest that will ever be again. And so we enjoy our youth. And Ecclesiastes talks a lot about enjoying our youth, but not to waste it. U.B. Blake says, "If I had known I was going to live this long, I'd have taken better care of myself." And the Bible teaches that a lot about, you know, if you in youth, yes, have fun. Enjoy yourself. Life, God has created it to be enjoyable, but don't waste your years on just enjoyment. There is some learning to be from that. There are consequences, obviously, the choices we make. And so we want to take care of ourselves when we're young. It will pay off when you get older. I don't do as much as I used to as far as exercise and stuff when I was younger, but I can feel the effects of that that carries me on. And that may make me a little complacent, and I need to obviously get back to some of that, realizing that those effects are truly there. John Barrymore said, "A man is not old until regrets take the place of dreams." You know, that's true too. We want to dream about things when we're young, the things that are available to us in this world. It's limitless, but when we get older, we realize a lot of those doors are shut. Sometimes we shut them ourselves. We limit ourselves, and we're not quite sure of the potential we have. When we're young, no one can tell us that we don't have great potential. We believe we do. The last one I want to read is William Wordsworth. He says, "The mind that is wise mourns less for what age takes away than what it leaves behind." And those are some great quotes. There are a lot of famous quotes that talk about aging. And aging began in the book of Genesis. God created it as part of his plan. He knew it was going to happen. He made provision for us. But he also teaches us, and he knows, he's sympathetic to it, that aging is a natural process. Aging is something that we really don't want to face up to as we grow older physically, but growing old in the Lord, spiritual, and that's what I want to emphasize, the spiritual maturity that we would reach and not stagnate, is the ideas I want to emphasize. The Bible emphasizes that growing old is a gift because life is short, it's fragile. We see that every day around us, and Titus 2, 1 through 5 tells us something specific there. Titus 2, 1 through 5. But speak thou the things which befit sound doctrine, that aged men may be temperate, grave, sober-minded, sound in faith, in love, and patient, that aged women likewise be reverent in demeanor. And there's many verses that talk about the elderly and people who are aging and growing older, and the emphasis always is on the spiritual aspect. That, I think, is what God wants us to learn about and to know about. You know, here in the United States, in America, aging is kind of frowned upon. It is something that people become a burden to the system, so to speak. And the Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible teaches that we should care for those who are aging, especially our parents and those of the household of faith. There are special provisions to take care of widows. Elders are worthy of double honor. You know, those are older men. And then the older women, as widows of a certain age, they're to be taken care of in each aspect. The Bible always emphasizes taking care of them. But what does the world do? What does America do? You know, one out of eight Americans is above 65 years or older, and that's about 39.6 million in the census of 2009. They project by 2030 there will be 72.1 million or more of those Americans 65 years or older. So it's a growing thing to be getting older. And so there is a lot of experience. Old age is a blessing from God. There's a lot of scriptures concerning that. But I want to emphasize what the Bible emphasizes. You know, one of those places is in the Old Testament. In Ecclesiastes 11 and verse 7, he says, "The light is pleasant, and it is good for the eyes to see the sun." Now, some of these verses are metaphors and figures of speech, and you have to kind of read them and read them in context. And Solomon is very wise, and I think that speaks about the wisdom of the earth, the knowledge of the earth. Not necessarily wisdom that God has, but he has some spiritual enlightenment by noticing things as he lived, and he's an old man writing this. He says, "The light is pleasant, it's good for the eyes to see the sun." I think that that teaches me that it's good to wake up another day, to realize I'm alive and not dead, that I have another day that I can make good for the Lord, that I can do something for God and not myself, not to be so selfish about living, to realize life itself is a blessing from God. And I think that that doesn't destroy its meaning there. Ecclesiastes 11 and 7 says, "The light is pleasant, it is good for the eyes to see the sun. Indeed, if a man shall live many years, let him rejoice in them all. And let him remember the days of darkness, for they will be many. Everything that is to come will be futility." Now, Solomon uses the term vain, vanity, a lot, and it has different meanings. Sometimes it's empty, sometimes worthless, waste of time. He uses that term, and you have to look at the context text of what he's talking about. A lot of times he sums up youth as being wasted, because when he was a young man, he did a lot of things, and it was just a waste of time. On one hand. On the other hand, it taught him his own character, who he was. And that's why he says, you know, to remember God in your youth. Remember your Creator when you're young. That's one thing that Ecclesiastes emphasizes. And we'll go on and notice how that emphasis is spoken of. Now, when we focus on growing older, a lot of times we focus on challenges, the physical challenges. There are some spiritually too. You may know some Christians that have lived a long life, and you say, what a great example they've been. I'd like to be like that person. And I've met some that I wonder, where have they been? They've been in the church all these years, and they don't seem to know a lot. They're still on milk sometimes. And I want to notice the Bible teaches us not to be in that situation, but to be a good example. You know, the blessing of a long life, number one, in Proverbs 29, it says, "The glory of young men is their strength, and the honor of old men is their gray hair." And so that I would be a good example of that. But I don't have the strength I used to be physically, but I don't really need it. You know, I can outsmart younger men sometimes because of the things I know, so I don't necessarily need that strength. But it doesn't talk about my strength anymore or someone who's older. It talks about honor. And the honor of gray hair is the fact that you live long enough to have it. And I'm thankful to have my hair as it's turned gray or white because it hasn't turned loose yet. And that's one of the things that happens when we get older. You know, sometimes women think that only applies to men, but that verse applies to women also and other places. You know, Paul Harvey said something about a lady who was turning 103 one time. Her name was Eva Reitzel. When asked the formula for living to be healthy, active, 103 years old, she just gave him 9 words. Stay away from doctors and stay away from men. Now, that may be good advice for some women, I don't know. But hopefully not all women, but that's what she said. I don't know if she was trying to be funny or not, but it is funny. Old age is a blessing, according to the Bible, for a good life. Ephesians 6, 2 and 3 says, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, so that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. You know, living with your parents and honoring them any way you can, and when you leave and you help them in their older age, God says that that is a blessing that is pleasing to him, and that's what he wants us to do when we're young. Proverbs 9, 10, and 11 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. For by me your days will be multiplied, and years of life will be added to you. You know, by knowing God, I know that I stayed out of a lot of trouble that I would have gotten in by not knowing God, because I would have made wrong decisions. And I didn't have anything really to live for except myself. And as you grow older and the days go by, one of the problems with getting older is getting melancholy, getting depressed. And we've seen certain celebrities lately, one of those who took his own life because he was depressed and he had a certain clinical depression. He had alcohol problems. He had 2 divorces, the stress from that. He had financial problems. And as you read the stories about certain individuals that come out that are public celebrities, you see how much they're going through. And I didn't see anything mentioned about him knowing God or knowing the Lord. Maybe he did in some fashion, but I didn't read any of that. And so I wonder about people and myself. If I didn't know God, where would I be? The Bible tells me knowing God, honoring your parents, following their good example of Christians, this is going to add years to your life. You'll stay out of trouble. You'll do the right things. You'll take care of yourself because you want to please and serve God. Proverbs 10:27, the fear of the Lord prolongs life, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. Now, that may be a generalization in some ways, because we know that people who don't know the Lord just kind of live recklessly. They live however they want, and that gets them into trouble sometimes, and their life may be shortened. As Christians, we want to be careful with the life that God has given us and to take care of it. For this body, the Bible says, is a temple of God. He wants us to make it last as long as it can to do his will. Well, another blessing of long life brings us, I think, perspective. You know, I think about an artist, and they would, I've never done it. I've had an art class, and the teacher told me I wasn't very good, so I didn't continue on in that. But I'd see artists, and they'd hold up paintbrushes. Now, we never did that in art class, but they'd usually hold it up to their painting, their drawing, or whatever. And I think that is, I haven't researched it, but to get an idea of horizon, perspective, linear planes, how things are converging and how lines are. And so they would look at things and they'd squint and see how things are lined up so they get a good idea how their painting's going. You don't want to be askew, too much like Picasso, so they don't really understand what's going on there. But you want something maybe realistic if you're doing that kind of drawing. You want perspective. Now, Christians, the blessing, I think, of long life for us as we grow in the Lord and as we mature and we go to gospel meetings and we hear teachings and we read the Bible and we study and we contemplate about God, it brings perspective. It helps us to see the big picture, and I think God wants us to do that. I mentioned gray hair, Proverbs 16:31, a gray head is a crown of glory. It is found in the way of righteousness. That is, if you live long enough as a Christian and your hair turns a certain color or loses its color, that's to be glorified, that's to be honored, because God has allowed and blessed you with a long life. And with that life, hopefully, you can return some of that wisdom to Christians around you and to God himself in serving him. You know, something that the good news about having gray hair, as I said, it means you still have some. You can dye it if you want to. I'm not too concerned about that. I don't really have the time, and I'm too cheap to really buy any good products like that. But wrinkles and gray hair teach me something valuable. I have less care and vanity for these little things. These things that might have bothered me when I was younger, when I first started, my hair was turning. I thought, oh no, it's happening already. And it happened very young. But once it happened, one person said to me, they used to say I was attractive, or when I was younger, you get compliments on how you're looking or a thumbs up. The other day I got one and the lady said, gorgeous. And I thought, well, that's a nice compliment. She said, your hair, just so she wasn't mistaken about anything. I said, oh, thanks. She said, it's really bright and shiny. I like that. And so I take what I get anymore. But my mind today is raised beyond, I think, vanity to morality. Not always, but it's stepping towards that way, towards mortality and the idea that I have a short amount of time. You know, when we're young, we might feel invincible. We may feel like we're bulletproof, as they say. We're filled with hope. Now, the older we get, we know that we see foolishness sometimes in our youth. We have more regrets about maybe not fulfilling dreams in our youth. 55 is about where I'm at. It's not the oldest compared to some, but it's the oldest as I've ever been, as one person said. Now, in the Bible, it teaches us many good things about getting older. We're not to always think about it as being negative. You know, life is too short. In James chapter 4 and 14, it's like a vapor. It's here for a while and gone. So we want to make the best of it. James 4, 13 and 15, as I said, we're only as old as God allows us to be. So we don't know what the next day is going to bring. We want to make the best of that and doing God's will. And being older and growing older physically is something that, you know, everyone wants at some point to get older. When you're a child, you may really want to be older and to become an adult. And the older you get, you're not really wanting to be older anymore because there are fears that come along with getting old. The old age of an aging body, a physical body, we know is susceptible to illness, declining strength, feelings of uselessness, because we have loss of friends, loved ones, family members, maybe a spouse. And these through death. So the reality of mortality, one's own death, you know, draws near and it looms more and more in our mind. And that causes loneliness, alienation. Our friends are busy, family is busy doing their own thing. And so as we get older, we need to consider those who may be living alone, don't have the resources and ability they once had, and to be concerned about them because they have financial concerns that we may not see. American society, we know, doesn't necessarily esteem the elderly. There was a governor previously of Colorado named Richard Lamb. He said this. He said, on health care costs, he said, terminally ill people have a duty to get out of the way. You know, that's a terrible way to look at it, but society does because it's the bottom line many times. It's about money, finances, and what politics wants to support, and of course, who votes, things like that. But China, on the other hand, considers old age as the most respected stage of life. I don't know if it's still always that way, but I think I read at one time a few years ago, Shanghai only had one old folks home in it, in that big city, only one, because most people took care of aging family members. Now, that may be a burden to some. That's a personal thing you have to decide. But as Christians, the Bible emphasizes that we are to consider that and to do the best we can to take care of our parents and those who are aging. Now, as I said, melancholy will set in, some type of depression and loneliness. People realize their own mortality. One wise man said that Christians should get stronger as they get older because you're getting closer to home, closer to heaven. And that's what the Bible teaches us many times. Isn't that true, though? No matter how old I get physically, that's reminding me, even though I don't necessarily like the reminders, that I am getting closer to God, to seeing God, to getting home. And that's why, spiritually, we should be more excited about getting older. Now, that may seem strange, but it is a positive thing the Bible teaches. I think Ecclesiastes chapter 4 teaches us that long life brings perspective. Ecclesiastes 4:1 says, "Then I returned and considered all the oppression that is done under the sun, and look, the tears of the oppressed. But they have no comforter. On the side of their oppressors there is power, but they have no comforter. Therefore I praise the dead who are already dead, more than the living who are still alive. Yet better than both is he who has never existed, who has not seen the evil work that is done under the sun. Again, I say that for all toil and every skillful work, a man is envied by his neighbor. This is also his vanity and grasping for the wind. The fool folds his hands and he consumes his own flesh. Better a handful with quietness than both hands full, together with toil and grasping for the wind. Then I returned and I saw vanity under the sun. There is one alone without companion. He has neither son nor brother, yet there is no end to all his labors, nor is his eye satisfied with riches. But he never asks, for whom do I toil and deprive myself of good? This is also vanity and a grave misfortune. Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. Isn't that great perspective for us as Christians? And especially if you're married. If you're not married, that's fine. You can serve the Lord as a single person. But if you are married, and Paul teaches about that, then two, helping each other, living for the Lord, complementing each other, being companions in God's will. But someone alone out there and not knowing God, Solomon says, that's vanity. They waste all their time on what? Gaining riches for what? For who? For the state when they die. For not any family members. They don't have any. Where does it go? It goes back to dust. So perspective can bring two things. One is positive and one's negative. The negative thing is pessimism. You know, if people get older, they get pessimistic. And that's the half full, half empty. They look at life as half empty. They're negative. They're brooding of doubt. They have hopelessness. But optimism is what the Bible teaches us the pessimism we should have. Positive outlook of hope and faith. There are some things that perspective teaches us, things we cannot change. Ecclesiastes 3, 1 through 15, I can't read all of that. But time is the emphasis there. Things in time that we can and cannot change, we need to consider that. To everything, there's a season, a time for every person, purpose under heaven. And he goes on. So to consider things that we can and cannot change is something that grows wisdom in us. Another perspective is the physical life that we have is limited. And God is sympathetic to that. And he speaks to that in Ecclesiastes 3, 16 and 22. Moreover, I saw under the sun in the place of judgment, wickedness was there. And in the place of righteousness, iniquity was there. I said in my heart, God shall judge the righteous and the wicked. For there is a time for there, time there for every purpose and for every work. I said in my heart concerning the condition of the sons of men, God tests them, that they may see that they themselves are like animals. For what happens to the son of men also happens to animals. One thing befalls them, as one dies, so dies the other. Surely they have all one breath. Man has no advantage over animals, for all is vanity. All go to one place, for all are from the dust, and all return to dust. Who knows the spirit of the sons of men, which goes upward, and the spirit of the animal, which goes down to the earth? So I perceive that nothing is better than that a man should rejoice in his own works, for that is his heritage. For what can bring him to see what will happen after him? Now that's a very curious things he says there, that is, it takes some study. But of course he's talking about the vanity of living physically and the mortality of living, and that we die just like animals do. We don't have any way to stop that. All living things are going to die, but man spiritually has something the animal doesn't have. He goes to heaven. That is, he goes and ends up with God. And so to make the best of it, he goes on, is the emphasis, to learn about God when you're young. Another perspective we get as we grow older is that life is not fair. Ecclesiastes 5 and 8, if you see the oppression of the poor and the violent perversion of justice and righteousness in a province, do not marvel at the matter, for high official watches over high official, and higher officials are over them. Isn't that speaking pretty much about our government? You know, a lot of people I know blame the government for their problems. Christians. And they're upset always with this president or that. But the Bible tells us, no, don't do that. Honor the president. You know, your king is Christ. You live in this country. You're a citizen. To always blame the president for your problems. As a Christian, that's a waste of time. That's vanity. That's going to happen. Money and riches don't satisfy is another perspective we gain in Ecclesiastes 5, 9 through 20. I'll not read all of that. But moreover, the profit of the land is for all. Even the king is served from the field. He who loves silver will not be satisfied with silver, nor he who loves abundance with increase. This is also vanity. And it goes on and explains that idea in Ecclesiastes 5, 9 through 20. Now, perspective teaches us we should also enjoy life's little blessings. Ecclesiastes 2:24, he says, nothing is better for a man than he should eat and drink, and that his soul should enjoy good in his labor. This also I saw was from the hand of God. The blessings of this life. Does God hand me everything? No, I have to go to work to get it. But I know that God gave me the life, The things provided are out of his creation. So on one hand, I do the labor, but God allows me to labor. He gives me the body to labor. He gives me the means to enjoy it. The physical and spiritual aspects all come from God. So really, it is a blessing from God, a gift that we enjoy these. Well, the second thing, the blessings of perspective. Old age brings a perspective that a young person cannot possess. It's because they don't have wisdom yet. They lack that perspective yet. They're trying to get it, but they're not quite there yet. And Ecclesiastes is written from the perspective of an old man. Ecclesiastes 1, 4 through 11, he says, a generation goes, a generation comes, the earth remains forever. The sun rises, the sun sets, and hastening again to the place it rises there again. Blowing toward the south and turning toward the north, the wind continues swirling along on its circular courses, the wind returns. He talks about rivers. He talks about all these things, the material world, how it operates. And these things can become wearisome. And man doesn't really always understand why things work the way that they do. But these things have existed, and each generation shall go through these things. Some will remember and some won't. But we are to remember God, and that's the important thing. There's a lot of perspective there taught about the earth, but I want to notice, as I have to quickly bring this to a close and summarize here, that perspective, as I said, can bring pessimism or it can bring acceptance of this life. If we allow perspective to bring acceptance, there's peace, and I think the Bible teaches that we need to do that. But pessimism brings bitterness. What can the proper biblical perspective teach us? Well, it teaches us that what can be changed and what cannot be changed. The Bible says there are some things like that, Ecclesiastes 1:15. What is crooked cannot be straightened, what is lacking cannot be counted. There's some things in life we learn to not be stressed over, to worry about, because you can't change that. You can't change some people. The gospel can if a person allows them. But there's a lot of people I've spoken to about the gospel, they haven't changed. Now, I don't want to stop because I know that over time, they may change. People do change. But I don't worry about it like I might have used to because it's in their hands. It's God's hands. And it's something that I need to be concerned about but not worried about. If it's family members, the same thing. But I don't deny doing it. You need to do it. If you have family members who aren't saved, of course, we want to speak to them. And friends, we want to speak to them. But I might have been a little bit stronger when I was younger and really worried about that. And been too strong, and sometimes that pushes people away instead of allowing God to work over time. Biblical perspective teaches us to enjoy life's little blessings, Ecclesiastes 2:24. Everything has a place and time, a time and a place, Ecclesiastes 3 and 1. That life is temporary and limited, 3:19. That life is not fair, 5 and 8. That money can't satisfy, 5 and 10. And a lot of those we've read. But why does long life bring perspective? Well, there's basically two reasons, and I'll close this up. Reason number one, the longer we live, the more we perceive how little control we have in life. When I was younger, I wanted everything in my life to be controlled, to control everything I could, but I found out that that just doesn't happen. You try to manipulate and force things, actions and thoughts, maybe of other people, and life, how it goes, but old age, we realize that we really have little control. So perspective teaches our limitations, and so we rely more on God and less on ourselves. Ecclesiastes 7:23, I tested all this with wisdom, and I said, I will be wise, but it was far from me. Solomon couldn't figure it all out. He had to rely on God, even with all the human knowledge he had. You know, today I can go to my smartphone because it can do things better and faster than I can. I think that's why it's called a smartphone. I can look things up in Google and learn instantly a lot of knowledge, but it doesn't really teach me wisdom. Wisdom is how you get there, how you obtain it, and you really learn it. You know, it can teach me facts and figures very fast and quickly, and I have to double check to make sure that that's correct sometimes. But wisdom takes time. It takes patience, perseverance. Ecclesiastes 8:16 and 17, when I gave my heart to know wisdom and to see the task which has been done on the earth, even though one should never sleep day or night. And I saw every work of God, I concluded that man cannot discover the work which has been done under the sun. Even though man should seek laboriously, he will not discover. And though the wise man should say, I know, he cannot discover. There's some things we just can't know that we have to trust God on. And God gives us that revelation to trust him, to follow him. The last reason, number two, the longer we live, the more we perceive how much little time we have left. Ecclesiastes 11:10, so remove grief and anger from your heart and put away pain from your body, because childhood and the prime of life are fleeting. Isn't that true? The prime of life, for some of us, is gone. It's fleeting. It went by very quickly. We enjoyed it while it was there, but we took it for granted sometimes. So when you're young, enjoy it, because you're going to get perspective along the way, hopefully. You'll get spiritual wisdom and knowledge, and that's what God wants you to do. You won't stay young and strong forever, so enjoy it now. But try to keep yourself in good shape, because you want to maintain your body as long as you can to carry this mind. Perspective brings wisdom. There are blessings of wisdom. Psalms 90 and 12. So teach us to number our days, that we may present to you a heart of wisdom. The Bible tells us to be mindful of our days, each day God has blessed us with. You saw the sun today? Thank God for it, because God gave you that blessing of another day. You're not sleeping with some who don't know, who aren't aware of what's going on the earth, as the rich man and Lazarus tells us. Job 12:12, wisdom is with aged men, with long life is understanding. Why does old age bring wisdom? Time plus practice or making mistakes. Making mistakes isn't always bad if you don't keep making them, but if you learn from them, that's good. The Bible teaches that as a fact. Time and making mistakes, practice of life, teaches us wisdom. And lastly, Proverbs 9 and 9, give instruction to a wise man and he will still be wiser. Teach a just man and he will increase in learning. So we learn that wisdom takes time and practice. And most wisdom comes from old age, because we've made mistakes. And we don't want younger people to make those same mistakes. That's why we need older people in the church, and elders, and older women to teach the younger women. We need those who are of age and who are older, if you will, in the Lord, to remind us of what the church has gone through and the difficulties and the problems and how to deal with them. Because we don't have the experience if we're young. We don't have the right knowledge and wisdom to deal with those things. And so we want to appreciate those who are older and help them in their difficulties and respect them and honor them, as the Bible teaches. This morning, that's my lesson. I've gone over my time a little bit, but I hope that these things are helpful as we realize that Christian maturity is the important thing emphasized as we grow older in Christ. And of course, we begin as young babes when we hear the gospel. The gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, those facts. God tells us we must obtain faith by hearing that. Our faith is in that, in the gospel story of Christ. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We obtain it that way, not by praying for it, but it is through hearing. And our mind is starting to develop. We learn and understand our own selves, that we're in sin. We're to believe in Christ or we'll perish. We're to repent of our sins and be willing to confess him before others and to be buried with him in baptism. Those steps lead us towards maturity, become a new man. The old man is done away with, buried. The old man of sin, the old spiritual self, dies. We have a new spiritual life that will begin and be with us in eternity. If we continue, as Christians, we are told we must continue growing in Christ. And if we cease at some point, if we sin, that causes us, by pessimism or whatever, to doubt God. That causes us to be stunted, arrested development, you might say, in our spiritual growth. And to correct that, we ask God to forgive us sincerely, and he will.